I also like when you consume the wiener in stall number three at halftime of an NFL game. Do you know that, Willie?
Come out right.
This show just took a hard left.
Willie, do you know that about your friend O'Hara?
I don't want to know. I don't want to know anything about him consuming.
Not number one. Number one. Who says wiener? No, who says wiener?
David. Football. Football, David. The Dave Dameshek Football Program, available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
I'm still baffled. What is O'Hara's confusion about the use of the word wiener? There's the most popular wiener that I'm aware of is Oscar Mayer, and they have a whole song about wieners.
They do. Also baloney.
I wish
has
I
a first name.
Oscar Mayer wiener. Oh yeah, right.
My baloney has a first name. It's OSCAR.
My
baloney has a second name.
How have I never
it's
made
M-A-Y-E-R.
That?
It's MAYER.
It's the same thing, and
they
I
still
never...
spell they spell baloney with an A though. Balagna.
They cornered the market in the late 70s, they early did. 80s on fun meat-based jingles.
It isn't baloney though. Isn't it pretty much just a flat hot dog?
You know what? Yeah.
I will devour hot dogs. I will go nowhere near bologna.
I've never considered that before.
That's what
it
is.
And I think you have just, once again, I mean, in the first 24
take a hot dog and iron it.
Did I ever, I mean, you know what? We love, the DDFP is all about infotainment.
Mm-hmm.
Little did I know when I walked through the door today, the student would be Dave Dameshek. It's exciting. We're off and rolling. Before anything else, I want to say go back and listen. You heard O'Hara and Willie McGinnis there talking about wieners. As it turns out, we transcended that subject and talked about the game of pro football and their specific anecdotes about it. Of course, Sean O'Hara with the Giants on the field with Tyree and Eli and the rest of those fellas. A lot of great stuff. And, of course, Willie toiled for the other team in that game, although he wasn't on the field on that night. But anywho, they both spin just tremendous yards. Really funny stuff, insightful stuff. Go back and listen to that one. And also go back and listen to the other one from earlier last week, Reggie Wayne and James Jones, because we got some heat going here in Studio 66.
Yeah.
Because I mentioned that Aaron Rodgers maybe hasn't had the best collection of pass catchers in his career, and James Jones.
Take exception, of course.
I mean, you know, if he took it to heart, you know, he didn't have to do it that way, but he did. But anyway, let's not live life in the rear view mirror. Let's look ahead. Coming up on the show, Heisman Trophy winner of odd five, odd six. Ooh, actually, I don't know if he's physically in possession of that anymore. Maybe that's something we'll get into.
Okay.
Anywho, he's one of our new colleagues here at NFL Media.
Good point.
It's Reggie Bush. Mm-hmm. Now, before we get to Reggie, we'll hear some, you know, memorable play stuff right in front of the draft here. We depart for Dallas, Texas in a few days. And I don't know if Reggie's going to be there, but, of course, he's been through that experience himself. So interested to hear his insights on that. Meantime, seated to my immediate left, one of our very favorites to bump into in the hallways, the green room or otherwise, and rare's the time that he sits down with us here in Studio 66, so let's take full advantage of it. You watch him all over NFL Network. It's our pal Cole Wright. What's the poop, fella?
Thank you for having me on the program, man. I appreciate it. Any time I can be a guest on the DDFP show, it's an honor.
Well, I feel like right out of the gate, you deserve a tip of the cap because I hear a little illness in you.
A little bit. Just a little gruffness. That's all it is, really. You know, nothing that a little, you know, what is it? Theraflu, a little.
That make you a little
Mucinex. No, it's all right. It's
might
all right.
Loosen you up for the show.
That's right. Just drink a little coffee, get the vocal cords warmed up. And you know, as I wanted to get to, Willie McGinnis, he should have known that they call him wieners. Because in Rhode Island, which is, oh, by the way, just a stone's throw away from Foxborough, they call him hot steamed wieners. I thought it was a little odd to myself, though.
Whatever.
It says it in the bright neon, hot steamed wieners, flashing.
Don't you see? These pro
football guys. I'm from Chicago.
Guys,
we call them hot dogs.
These guys from pro football, they come in here. It's all they know. They team up. They gang up on me, the poor loser, and they bully me, and they laugh. Well, wieners.
They don't call you a loser, Dave. Come on.
Well, they did. It was between the lines. That's what I heard.
All right.
That's how I hear it. Now, Chicago has terrible wieners. They have the worst wieners on the face of the earth.
Time to go.
And I don't like when Matt Money Smith, another Chicagoan, comes in here and besmirches me and what I put on my wiener.
You probably put ketchup on your hot dog.
So what?
But goofball. But
what I don't
That's
do,
all that is.
I don't put a tomato wedge on it. That's just.
Well, you should.
It's
celery salt.
Nauseating.
Sport peppers.
All
Come on.
Those things are fine. The sport peppers, whatever. It's the tomato wedge that and there are very few things that I will not ingest.
But you don't like tomatoes?
I like tomatoes, but there's just something in my gut that tells me that's against nature. A tomato wedge next to a wiener. I don't like it.
Have you tried it?
I've tried it.
Okay. You lived in Chicago for
better part of a decade. Time. Yes, yeah. That's right. Thank you.
It's true.
All right. We have much to get to today. Let's jump in. There's some drama from producer behind the glass, MVP's past, her dating past, but hopefully it will prove to be uplifting to the listener today. And a lot going on in the game of pro football. And you know what? And in the game of life. First of all, James Harrison's retired. Talk about melodrama. A lot of melodrama in December when he saw fit to sign with the New England Patriots, arch rival or whatever you would call them, of the Pittsburgh Steelers. This did not sit well with Steelers fans at the time. Now he's hung it up. Let's do this, Cole Wright. Let's just jump to the end of his pro football career. Hall of Fame, it's our recurring segment here, Hall or Nothing, in our purview today. James Harrison.
Debo.
Does he get a gold jacket?
I think he does. Not a first ballot Hall of Famer. I think it's going to take, you know, a few tries, and eventually he's going to be knocking on that door, and he's eventually going to get that call. I think that, you know, what he did for your Pittsburgh Steelers, as we all know, I mean, it's going to be tough to be replicated out there. But, I mean, he didn't do as much as I'm sure the Patriots would have liked him to do in the capacity they picked him up.
He actually wasn't too bad.
He was good in small sample sizes, but he was not the Debo that we've known and loved over the years in Pittsburgh.
Well, what he did in New England one way or the other, and I do wonder, you know, what if he did punctuate his career with a ring? What if he had made a big play against the Eagles or something like that? That might actually impact things, and people want to argue that, one play, that's too small a sample size. The fact is, and I say it all the time, Lynn Swann, to talk about another Steeler, is in the Hall of Fame because he made iconic plays
when it counted.
In big games.
When it counted.
That resonates to human beings, and that's, as it turns out, 100% of the people who cast the ballots are human, and they react to those things, whether they're supposed to go off the entire body of work of a career. Either way, I have a hunch James Harrison doesn't go to the Hall of Fame. First ballot, I'm with you completely. He's not going to do that. And he is one of those guys who I think you react to viscerally, like, wow, he was really dominant in that window, half decade or so. Yep. He was one of the three or five best defensive players perennially. But when you look at his numbers, and the further away you get from watching him play and you just assess his numbers, it's going to be a hard case. So he better get in quick or he's not going to get in. Or maybe he gets in 30 years and, you know, the Veterans Committee.
And I think something that maybe might catapult him in is when some of these voters, you know, obviously as the years go by, the voters are going to get a little bit younger because there's going to be new voters that are, you know, welcomed into the fold. I think a lot of them are going to go back on YouTube and maybe guys that, you know, didn't have, you know, as much knowledge about this era, they're going to see James Harrison playing volleyball with a medicine ball. And they're going to see him doing all these incredible feats of strength like he's in Johannesburg, South Africa.
You're right.
At the latest installment of World's Strongest Man. But then they're going to say, wow, this guy was on the field and he did all these things just to prepare for each and every Sunday. And I think that maybe that's going to get him in. Maybe it won't. But either way, he's going to definitely be a talking point when every time that, you know, Canton rolls around.
I think that's exactly right. That's what I'm getting at about what knocks around in your brain. Mm-hmm. I think the James Harrison working out at 5 a.m. or whatever
it was. You don't do that?
Doing all that stuff. As it turns out, no, I don't
do
that. I think that's the kind of stuff that resonates with the voter. I just wonder how long that will stick around your brain 5 years from now when it's time to sit down and cast a ballot.
I think five years from now it won't be as big, but, you know, 25 years from now, I don't think he'll still be on the ballot in 25 years, but that will resonate.
But yes. All right, now game of life. Harry Anderson, sadly, is not playing it anymore, and I don't mean to, that sounds glib? I didn't mean
a little bit. Way to go. Way to bring
Anderson,
the mood down, Dave.
I didn't mean to do that, but now people who watched the sitcom Night Court, and I saw you tweet about it on Monday, and that made me, I didn't know, I hadn't realized until I saw you tweeting about Harry Anderson passing away. Night Court for me was fine, but what I loved was Harry the Hat when Harry Anderson used to appear on Cheers and was a grifter.
That's true.
And would take Coach and Woody and those guys for everything they were worth.
That's true. You know, I was I used to watch Cheers, but not as much as I used to watch Night Court.
Me now. That's part of the reason we wanted Cole here today. He has some stunning opinions about about some of the most famous movies of all time. We'll get into those in
classic television as well.
Let's just set the table so people know what they're getting when they listen to Cole Wright's opinions on entertainment-based issues. Give me your top three sitcoms.
Top three sitcoms of all time, huh?
No, of 2004. What do you mean? Yeah.
All right. I'm going to have to go with Jefferson's.
Jefferson's one.
And this it doesn't have to be in any random. It could be
I'd like to hear
a blender. It's too tough, Dave. I'd like to play our game and do it win, play, show. Well, I've watched way too much TV, though. That's the problem. So you can't really categorize.
Oh, well, that's something we can't relate to in here. We don't watch dabble in that.
You kind of put me on the spot there. I have to go Martin. Martin
He's
has to
my
be
my best friend of all time.
Martin has to be one of those. And does Curb Your Enthusiasm count? Or is that not a a sitcom because since it's on HBO?
As opposed to – no. Well, it's
does
not
TV. Count?
It's HBO from what I heard. But, yes, we are going to count it.
Okay. I'll go with that one. Give one from recent times.
What a wacky list that is. Jefferson's.
Jefferson's is fantastic.
Now
– you're not a Paul Benedict fan? Mr. Bentley, the next-door neighbor?
Not telling me anything I don't know.
He's not from England, though. He does not have an English accent. It's from the good old – USA.
That's right. He also appears in a great movie called The Freshman, in which he berates Matthew Broderick.
All about the kimono dragon, Marlon Brando.
I love that movie.
Come on now.
Brando's in that movie, as you point out. And, of course, a recurring theme in that movie is how much Brando's character looks like the Godfather.
He does.
And that's something that you have some weird opinions on. We'll get into
those. I see how you pivoted there. I like that.
Emma VP, before we jump in on all that, I'd be interested as a scribe. You know, you fancy yourself one of these comedy writers. Types, go ahead, lay it on me. Let me get your top three here.
I'm Win, going play, show. The Office.
One.
Wow.
U.S. Office.
U.S. Office.
Okay.
Then I'm gonna go.
Best ever.
Yeah.
It's the best sitcom that they've ever put out.
I wish I had a little more time to think about this, but
right.
Yeah, I'm
you
gonna go.
Just
with the
know
office.
It in your
I'm
gut.
Gonna let my
it's not a brain choice.
All right, fine. Then I'm gonna go with 30 Rock.
Okay. You know I like that one.
And this one's gonna hurt you, but I'm gonna go with Friends.
Wow.
Friends.
You know, I'm gonna. Can I take Curb Your Enthusiasm off the list? Can I do that?
I guess so.
I'm gonna put
as long as you don't put Friends on it.
I've never even seen a full episode of Friends.
Is that
all right?
I
never have, but I'm gonna go with It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Now that is a great one.
Because the gang goes to the water park. I believe it's in season 11 or season 12. That's when you know a show is really hitting on all cylinders because that's the best and funniest episode I've ever seen. And it's 11, 12 seasons into the show.
Well, in fact,
it's pretty good.
To your point, even though it literally kind of disagrees with you, hitting your stride in season 11 or 12, I think it is unprecedented, in fact, that you're churning out some of the best episodes ever at that deep into
good,
the series
man.
Run. Even The Simpsons probably, in its top 10 episodes ever, probably in season 12 or 13 didn't produce, although they did have a couple good ones. But yeah. My list goes, and this is the proper list, Simpsons 1.
Wow.
Okay. I'm going to go.
The proper list.
I'm going to go right now, and this is how I feel as we sit here in 2018, Larry Sanders Show, barely above Cheers, but Cheers is always in the mix, and just missing out. Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I think it's a little underappreciated.
That's great.
We genuflect a little bit too much to the classics, and we are forgetting a little – not forgetting, but I don't think we're regarding exactly how good this show is. So that's my list. We could do all sorts of stuff about judges. What judge would you most like to hear your case? That's what Harry – when Cheers – I remember when Harry Anderson – when I heard that Harry the Hat was getting his own show and yep. I was a kid and he always was doing like his card tricks mm-hmm. and taking people for money at the bar Cheers. I heard he got his own show and I was so excited. And then when I watched Night Court, he's not Harry the Hat.
He still wears a hat though.
He's that just was his, a judge.
It was his calling card.
I like those kind of discussions. What judge in a TV or movie would you most want hearing your case? Or perhaps better yet, what attorney would you want representing you?
I want Fred Gwynne. From what is it? My Cousin Vinny,
right?
Of course, also known as Herman Munster.
Good, quick answer.
Not
I like
in the
that.
Know.
You get points for the speed with which you access.
And I think Matthew McConaughey from what's the one with Samuel L. Jackson, the movie where he plays the lawyer.
Yeah,
anybody?
Yeah.
McConaughey, just because he's smooth.
The
man.
Client.
I think that could be it. When Samuel L. Jackson pops out of the closet in the courtroom and starts blasting. Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one.
I think you're right about that. Also
the Lincoln Lawyer too. McConaughey also the Lincoln Lawyer. Plus, I mean, he drives around in a Lincoln.
Pretty good movie.
Stops in the path of a Longhorn and rolls his fingers together.
If you took ill, who would you want treating you? What doctor in a TV or movie would you want taking care of you?
Trapper John MD, man.
Boy, you know what? You get a lot of points, if nothing else. Boy, you don't take a breath before you have an answer for this.
Come on now. Quincy, perhaps? Going old school?
That's
we're going real old school. I'm dating myself just a little
Quincy,
bit here.
Well, Quincy, wasn't Quincy a coroner?
Was he? I don't remember.
I just remember the opening of
had a nice little flute loop at the beginning, I believe. That's the theme song? Okay.
Yeah, I remember the open of Quincy. I don't know that I ever saw
not as good
any...
as Barney Miller, though. Great opening.
Boy, oh boy. Boy, the spaghettis and MVPs
they're lost.
Are tuning out. Like, what are these two old people talking
about?
Yeah,
sorry to squash the 18 to 34 demographic here, Dave.
Next up, Gronk and Brady have not shown up for New England Patriots optional team workouts. Ooh. People make a lot of noise about this, even though the word optional is right in there as an adjective. It's sort of, I guess, like a test. We're going to call it optional to see how committed you are. But if you option to not show up, then we will frown on that. Perhaps, but it's Brady and Gronk, certainly.
Yeah.
Belichick doesn't want to press forward with that. At the same time, Danny Amendola says Bill Belichick, he called him a bad word, spaghetti?
Yeah, he did an interview with Mike Rice, I think, of ESPN, and that story got picked up, like an interview in the car, and he said that he called him the bad word, but he like kind of...
It was tongue-in-cheek?
No, he said that he pushed him in the right direction. Like he still won twice. So he said, in a way, it kind of works out in the long run, but it's not fun in the time being.
That's kind of so.
Cole Wright, do you feel, I mean, I know it's April, we can make a lot of noise about this, or we can just dismiss it and laugh about it and say, ha, come September, who's going to remember any of that? But there was a lot of smoke in December and January. Now this is lingering to now. A lot of guys on the Patriots are saying it outright or at least insinuating that Belichick cost him the Super Bowl by benching Malcolm Butler. Do you think that the Patriots – I guess the best way to
Trouble in Paradise?
Are the Patriots the best team in the AFC going into 2018?
Absolutely, yes.
I don't know.
Until they prove to me that they're not, they're the reigning AFC champions, man. I mean, they have to be dethroned. Wouldn't you agree?
I mean, I get your logic there, but spaghetti, just practically speaking, this is a team now that was scrambling so mightily to find anybody to put in their defensive front seven that they had to go and get James Harrison to do it and give him actual repetitions out on the field. It wasn't like, hey, let's just throw him out there. I'm like, he was actually out on the field playing in big moments for the New England Patriots.
They were scrambling.
Desperate.
Scrambling so hard that they made it to the Super Bowl.
And I happen to know that the Eagles, as they evaluated the Patriots on film in the run-up to the game, by Super Sunday before kickoff,
they were ready.
They weren't just ready. They were of the mind that we should take care of this team. We should definitely win this game because outside of number 12 there, 12 is covering up an awful lot of ugliness or mediocrity at minimum. I don't know. I'm at 41, 42. We talk about it all the time. Trouble in paradise at minimum. I don't know exactly how you resolve this either. And this Tom Brady can say whatever he wants about wanting Lamar Jackson at the end of round one. I don't think that's just – I mean, it might behoove the Patriots to find a successor. I don't think Brady – we've already heard from Jimmy Garoppolo. We already know from that tumult that he doesn't like Brady or Brady didn't like having a kid behind him. It was talent.
He's too handsome. That's what it was.
Yeah, I haven't really gotten – I haven't really studied Lamar Jackson that much to see if he's going to rival Brady in the looks department.
Is it a surprise to you, though, that Danny Amendola had such coarse words for Bill Belichick? Is that surprising?
I feel like it's one of those bits where Amendola is saying he's mean, but it's motivating.
A controlled jerk.
What's the
so
drumming
to speak.
Movie? The
Drumline.
Not
Nick Cannon?
No.
Nick Cannon's hilarious.
The movie where the guy...
The one with Miles Teller and...
With the guy from the... Simmons.
Whiplash?
J.K. Simmons.
Whiplash. There you go. The guy from the insurance ads.
It's funny to me that Whiplash, people say, like, see, that's what it's about. That's how you get great. It's not borderline abusive. It is abusive. And I think the Bob Knights of the world and the Bill Parcells of the world, I wonder how they would fare in 2018. Belichick it feels like an anachronism in that way, except that people who play for him generally will tell, oh, no, behind the scenes, he's a delight. He's a card. He's hilarious. He just doesn't show that to the world. This betrays that, you know, what Amendola is saying there. Spaghetti, I've been remiss. I didn't give you your opportunity to say your sitcoms. Go ahead.
Seinfeld, I think it's just too important to TV culture.
Important. Historian. Spaghetti the
I'll
historian.
Say, I'll say it's
he's doing 20, important
24
work.
Years old, Eddie Spaghetti Holder?
25.
Yeah. So much Star knowledge.
I like to have fun, but sometimes it's time to get serious.
Yeah, it is.
And when it's ranking sitcoms, that's one of those times.
But how many times you in life do you think of, like, you know, the Dancing Weird or the Big Salad or just stuff like that comes up in Seinfeld, Close Talker? Like, there's so many things that apply to life. I don't know.
Man Hands,
right. Yeah. The only show I've watched as much as Seinfeld is It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, so that's on my list. And I think at its high points, The Office is probably the funniest show ever.
Wow. I've never even seen The Office.
I think
once
there
again.
Are some scenes that are so funny. It's like I don't even know how they filmed it. And I like a ton. I like the English one a ton. I like Arrested Development. I think is very funny, but too short. There's a lot of great comedies, but The Office, like, there are some scenes that just, like, it's incredible how they thought of it.
What about Eastbound and Down?
Eastbound
I haven't
and
heard
down.
Anyone.
Awesome. Right.
Kenny Powers.
Same
yep.
thing. I think
Bulletproof Tiger.
They're some of the high points. Some of the characters in that's like Stevie Janowski. Like the scene.
Terrific.
I mean, it's incredible.
This wouldn't be happening if you knew how to boil your meat or
right.
cook it.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, get MVP there. Can you text one Tara or Tara Deeker to join us? The Al Davis of pie-offs past. She won a pie-off competition 2 years ago.
You have to go there, huh?
Well, there was a lot of acrimony surrounding that one, too. She won that, and then she really made herself into a full-on villain in the 2017 pie-off.
Terrible.
Denouncing other people's pies, playing fast and loose with the rules.
Hers was too much, man. It was too much. It was too rich. Couldn't even eat a whole slice without feeling like you're going to go into a diabetic coma.
Weird little C story in the pie-off six, was it? Pie-off six was the one we just had? Or had it back around Thanksgiving. We do it every week. It's one of my greatest achievements is duping all of my colleagues to bring in pie.
It's fixed.
Pie.
It's fixed every
Not
year.
Fixed.
Come on.
Nothing fixed.
Got me finished on the outside looking in 2 years
thing
running,
that's
Dave.
The only thing fixed is that I somehow have warped everyone's brain to think that you should bring pies in so I can taste them and evaluate their worthiness, and I get to eat pie every year. It's a delicious trick I've played on all of you.
Yeah.
Wow. But
it is similar to WWE, though.
The
it's
C taken story.
A WWE
no, it
turn.
Hasn't. In the C story,
mine's delicious.
Yeah,
it's been delicious
Cole.
2 years running. This
the
year,
C
I'm going to have to make some augmentations.
The C story crap of Cole Wright just saying, like, oh, I don't understand. This is obviously you're playing. You're fraudulent by not putting me in the top three.
Is Tuk's
so
pie
arrogant.
Had way too many flavors
so
going on?
You're Vince McMahon. That's what it is.
No.
That's how he walks out. It's how he walks out the back door in the studio.
I'm a man who enjoys eating happens. Pie. That's what I do. That's what I am.
You know what Tara or Tara is doing now also to add to her? She's trying to get in the good graces of the podcast, the pod squad. She made banana bread and is making, like, lemon bars.
So what?
Come on.
So she's trying to,
come on. Look at that.
Yeah.
Spaghetti,
so
wake up.
Good.
It's like going and giving the referees, like, gold watches
right.
before the game. Yeah. Yeah.
Deeker, if you're unaware of that name drop, it doesn't really make a difference to you and me, Spaghetti. Deeker pays us no mind. She doesn't care about us and perhaps even downright dislikes both of us.
True.
All she cares about is MVP. And Erica Tamposa.
That's
those
very,
are the only
very
two
true.
People. That's all she. Those are the only two people she actually cares about impressing.
Yeah.
Now, Deeker and Cole have the same awful opinion. We'll get to that in just a second here. Meantime, MVP, I saw the aforementioned Tamposa tweeting on Monday about something, and I think this is an important subject for everybody to dig in on. Yes, life takes some funny twists and turns that you just can't anticipate.
It does.
It's why I'm so fascinated. If you haven't seen it yet, dig it up. We have probably 30 or so of these NFLs out there. The butterfly effect for pro football. What if one play had gone a little bit differently? How different would NFL history look? We just did what if Jerry Jones had gotten his way and in 2014 drafted Johnny Manziel with the 16th overall pick?
Yikes.
Well, of course, it's not hard to figure out out that the dominoes fall very differently mm-hmm. for a bunch of teams, not just for the Cowboys. Find that when we have another gem coming up in the next few days, MOVP. We'll put another one out for you, another NFL. Meantime, a personal one for me is, I can tell you, is here's my life story. As I start out in life, just as I'm starting out, I'm about to sign a lease in Pittsburgh, PA, with my pals Richie and Brett. You know, they have a cool 3-bedroom apartment in a good part of Pittsburgh. It's fun. The Penguins are at the height of their Stanley Cup powers, mm-hmm. Mario Lemieux and all of that stuff. And it was a good time. Brett was a bartender, giving us free drinks all the time. What wasn't to like? We were living the high life.
Can't hate that.
But my friend Reggie up in Chicago, or he was from Indianapolis, but he said, let's move to Chicago. Now, that would be a good time. Move up to the north side.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
This was a debate, you know, and I couldn't figure out what to do. And so Reggie and I were looking at apartments in Chicago. At the same time, I'm thinking about signing a lease in Pittsburgh with my friends there. And really what was swinging it for me was, as I mentioned, the Penguins are in the middle of a spring Stanley mm-hmm. Cup run. They were going for cup number 3, as a matter of fact. And I couldn't decide. It was time. Sign the lease in Chicago or sign the lease in Pittsburgh. What should I do? And within literally 24 hours, the Penguins happened to play a Game 7, went to overtime against the New York Islanders. David Volek of the Islanders improbably scored to give the series to the Islanders ended it for the Penguins. This broke my heart so badly.
I'm out of here. I'm going to Chicago.
That I was like, you know what? There's nothing here for me anymore. I signed the lease in Chicago, lived there for, like you say, almost a decade. While I was there, met a girl. She moved out to Los Angeles to be a TV producer. I, a year later, followed suit.
Like Matt Damon, Good Will Hunting.
One thing led to another, Seinfeld style, yada, yada, yada. You know, yeah, that's exactly.
Did you write somebody a note I had to go see about a girl?
No. I'm not that cool. Not that
sentimental. Sappy.
I was that sentimental.
Okay.
And once the Penguins broke my heart, it was a grim slap of reality. Got to Chicago to start a new thing. And I wind up in L.A., and here we sit having this conversation. If the Penguins score that goal, I probably stay in Pittsburgh, and I don't know what I do for the rest of my life.
Life would
in
never
Pittsburgh.
Be the same.
I mean, the bottom line is ultimately I still wish the Penguins would have won that game and none of this would have happened, you know. And I think anybody listening to me right now can agree mightily with that. Like, what am I listening to him for? He's a schnook, but why am I victimizing my ears with this nonsense? Now, Emma VP has a story.
Does she?
It changed her life.
Oh, okay.
Who knows if she would be sitting here.
Wow.
Oh, I see Deeker.
She's here.
Al Davis.
She's a Cardinals fan.
Office here. Come on
she
in
is.
Here. Oh, yes.
Unfortunately.
I didn't realize. Look at this. It's NL Central Showdown 3-way
boo.
Here.
Boo to Cardinals fans.
I'm not booing the Cardinals fan. I'm booing the Al Davis of pie-off, the villain of NFL media. Boo, indeed.
Too many flavors going on in that pie. Way too rich.
You're like the
sunglasses on.
The main editor of what's her name of Vogue magazine.
I look like Anna Wintour.
Well, just like your style and your swagger.
Thank you. You're above us.
You know? It's like, you know, don't look me directly in the eye.
I take that as a compliment.
Those
looks great,
Deke. Shades. Those are.
Looking good.
That's how I operate around here.
All right. Yep. We have a lot of things we want to get to here. First of all, Emma VP, with Deeker sitting here now and Cole Wright and the whole world, tell us your story that Tamposi started to share on Monday night about the prom.
Yeah, so Tamposi started just tweeting about my experience. So when I was a junior in high school, the guy I really liked for like 3 years finally asked me to the prom.
Nice.
Very exciting. I was so excited. And then he ended up canceling on me 3 days later.
See, that's why Deeker's mean.
Nice.
She's the one who laughed.
It's hilarious,
Deeker.
He
had to go to his brother's graduation. So that was his reason. He did go to that graduation, so not a lie.
But was it on a
like
Saturday
a college
night?
Graduation?
Yeah. His brother's college graduation. He did not think about that before doing a whole like
probably out of town.
So it was out of town.
It's out of town, I assume.
Yeah.
Let them know how he asked.
This is not an important question, but I am intrigued. Why would you have to? who graduates college around the prom? Isn't the prom usually
end
like
end of school year? Yeah,
April,
it's in May.
No, yeah, it's.
Oh, I some always
people,
thought it was like.
Yeah, some people run it a little later.
Okay, all right. So I'm sorry. Just a side note. Yes. Mm. Next question. How did this fella ask? What's his name, first of all?
His name's Danny.
Danny.
He asked me, and I just went to the Starbucks.
Already don't like
him. On the local Main Street. I ordered my drink. It came out, and on the drink it said prom question mark, and whoa. I was like. So excited.
Oh,
and then he came out from around the corner with a dozen roses and asked me to the prom.
What?
Yep.
This is the guy
what
who you
proposal.
Pined for.
Yeah.
And you and there had never been an indication up to this moment that he was returning the affection?
No, there was indication. I mean, I wasn't. Oh. I'm not crazy.
But he sent you a note like, I like you too, as it turns out.
But did you hear spatterings that, oh my God, Danny may ask you. And you're like, oh my gosh, when's it coming? Like,
yeah, I think I had thought he was probably going to ask me.
But were you dating?
No, we were like, you know.
Hanging
our,
out.
On our way. Yeah, we were like buddies.
Swinging
like,
by the locker, you know, that kind of thing. Drop
yeah,
in.
Yeah, we were lab partners.
When
oh,
I was in
lab
high school.
Partners.
When I was in
oh.
middle school and high school, they called it going together. Are
going,
you
going
together?
Going steady?
It wasn't going steady. It was like, are you going together? So were you going together
no,
with Danny?
No, honestly, it wasn't even cool enough for that. It was wow. just more... You know.
That sounds like a Happy Days kind of situation.
It does, kind of.
I mean, this
did
is
you go high school. Right,
I gotta tell you, that's their worst little story. I've heard people grown-ups get engaged much in much cheesier fashion than what this little.
Well, I think all three of us are too old for the
hold on a second. Hold on a second.
Of promposals. Huh? Because promposals have become this, like...
It's social media age.
It's ridiculous. It's like an engagement. It's
it
like... I mean, I know...
It
people,
is?
Yes.
It's big.
Mm-hmm. They
it's
do
big.
All these elaborate things. The first I was ever aware of it was Laguna Beach. Am I right,
yep.
ladies?
You're right.
And all of a sudden... Like,
I don't know what any
of
them
like, I got asked to the prom. Just the guy came up to my locker and said, do you want to go to prom with me?
As he sweated his armpits out.
Well, yeah. I mean...
He's so nervous, like my feet are
nervous
shaking.
Nervous because...
Tara Deeker Davis, please put your microphone up to your face a little bit better. There
sorry.
I went to
but
ask
yes.
a girl to prom senior year of high school. I told my buddies, they were all at my friend's house, and they're like, we're waiting. Are you coming over? I'm like, yeah. Let me go to Dairy Queen real quick and ask this girl to prom. So I go to Dairy Queen. She's there. I'm like, let me get a large chocolate shake. I'm like, hey, good seeing you. See you later. And walked out and didn't even ask her.
Why?
And then I found out after prom that she knew that I was going to ask her. And no one even told me that she knew. And I did not ask her. And then she didn't even end up going to prom.
You ruined her life.
Can I tell you something? I like that story because Cole Wright is one of these guys to me who I know in adult life. And it's very hard for me to imagine that you weren't a great coxman of high school. You're this baseball pitcher guy. You're like you must have been good at other sports on the high school level, right?
No, all I played was baseball.
Okay, whatever.
But he's saying you were a man about town. You're
no,
Joe
not
Paul.
At all.
You're a handsome devil.
I stayed in the office.
You have the voice.
Stayed
and
in
everything.
The office.
You're throwing the ball, and
so,
everybody's swooning for
so
it.
So Dave has told me he only talked to one girl in high school his entire high school career. So I think he's positing that you were the opposite.
No, zero.
Not at all.
Zero. I'm saying outside
had,
of blood blood relatives.
Like
I
said,
zero
earlier.
Girls.
I said earlier in the show, Dave and I are cut from the same cloth. I did not have one girlfriend in high school.
Is that true?
It's cut from the same cloth. There we
wow.
go.
It's nothing to be proud of. Yeah. But all right, MVP.
Whoa.
I think MVP, the story is that she has come above, you know, she's the winner now.
I was and yeah. am
she's
a loser,
above.
Cole. What was your excuse not to be able
I was
to?
I was a troublemaker. I was the funny guy. I tried to be
class clown.
Class clown. The funny part about it is I did not win class clown. The guy that won class clown used to sit in class and laugh at my jokes.
I was upset.
I was really upset about that.
Deeker, you got class clown.
I sure did.
What kind
and
of
I came
comedy
in sec-
going
I came
on?
Yeah. I came
kind of
in
desert.
Second?
What kind of comedy desert is St. Louis, Missouri?
It was like 17 kids in her class.
Wow, that is
the class?
Mean.
Deeker's the class clown?
I was the class clown.
I
came
mean,
in second for best dressed.
You're amusing well, and everything, but I mean.
Okay, I'm amusing.
The number one? Top
number
rated?
One. The number one. People found me entertaining and
wow.
funny. But I was not disruptive like Cole. Teachers loved me.
They didn't love me.
Oh, my God. They loved me.
I used to have to go and take my I would have to go take even tests out in the hallway because I wouldn't stop talking during yeah. tests.
Are you in your high school's notable alumni?
I don't think
no,
so.
No, you're not. If you don't know, then you're not.
No, I guess not.
Yeah, you're
well,
not. If you have to think, like, they probably would have a ceremony and everything for
but
her.
I want to get back
I'm not
to
either.
For
so
a ceremony?
Yeah.
Last
yeah.
night, I found out that she cried for days.
Yes,
guys.
Let's get back to MVP.
Like, she cried
this is
for
all
days.
Uncomfortable.
Yes.
And all the while,
her fiancé.
Wait a second, Deeker. Can we hear the story? Can we hear
but
what happened?
I want to get us back on track.
Shoulder to cry
pain.
On.
Yeah.
I did cry for days afterwards.
Wait a second. He gives you the – he comes around. Dozen roses. He brings them to his place of employment, Starbucks. Mm-hmm. By the way, my head's spinning just at the idea that when Emma VP was in high school.
Starbucks is.
Yeah, there was no such thing as Starbucks when I was in high school.
Unless
but anyway.
You're in Seattle. Yeah, you're not.
Yeah, true. Emma VP. So, okay, so he does this. You swoon. Of course, I'll go with
tell
you,
all
Danny.
My family
tell everybody.
Tell
yeah,
everyone.
I'm sure you tell everybody.
Post about it.
You left Starbucks. You went right to the dress store. You got something in chiffon and called him.
Taffeta.
Not quite.
What did I say?
Chiffon.
Was it peach?
They both were.
Peach or a variety thereof?
Didn't go dress shopping yet. Wasn't
oh,
that crazy.
Wow.
Okay. So he's excited. You're excited. Dream yep. come
What's
true.
The timeline here? Are we 3 weeks out? 4 weeks
no,
out?
No, probably been a couple months ahead
oh,
of time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
wow.
We really locking
it down.
Yeah. Through, yeah.
Oh, wow.
I'm a VP, the hot commodity
yeah,
in high school.
Is that how
that
you were regarded in high school?
Not even. Nope. I think you can tell by this story. That is not the case.
Come on.
You didn't have multiple gentlemen suitors?
Nope.
Okay.
Yep, just that
go
one
ahead.
And my
she
fiance.
Caught this guy dissecting a frog. They were, you know.
Somehow, though, Danny, the star
Danny.
Of Starbucks, you
he
know.
Found love in the lab.
I was so sad about it that I cried in homeroom the next day.
What did he do? He called
Danny
you on the phone?
He called me on the phone.
The very next day?
It was a couple days late, so I was, like, very happy about this for days. Like, a few days.
Oh, okay. So you had a few days of elation.
Uh-huh. And then he called me and told me about the graduation thing.
Oof.
And then the next day, I still had to go to school, and we were in homeroom together, and I couldn't even bear to look at him.
Oh.
So I was crying, and then, twist, Brett also in my homeroom, my fiancé.
Brett, who...
He loved it.
Spoiler alert.
He saw that opening. He saw that opening. He's like, hold on a second.
Spoiler alert.
I got this.
Literally, Deeker almost literally just fell out of her chair there. And with her short legs, that would have been a long fall.
It would have been. Quite a tumble.
Not since Maurice Jones-Drew fell off a chair.
Ouch.
Well. The Emma VP, so he dashes your hopes and dreams.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, plot twist, mm-hmm. spoiler alert, all that. The guy to whom you are now engaged, mm-hmm. as of 2 months ago or whatever,
mm-hmm.
happens to be in not just in high school with you. He's in your home room mm-hmm. watching you, puffy-eyed, crying all night.
Yeah.
Asking your mom, can I skip school? This is too hard. I don't want to. Nope, you got to go, Emma VP. Your education is mm-hmm. number one. We're not. You don't get an absent day for this one.
Mm-mm.
But,
yep.
Mom, he's going to be in there. Danny's going to be right there.
Yep.
Okay. Is Danny saying anything to you at homeroom, or they're just letting you cry?
I just had this. This one was for me, you know,
yeah.
like that.
We've all seen the girl in class crying, and you don't.
Yeah,
you don't
I tried
know,
to hide it, but
yeah, you don't know if you should go
right
up
out
to
of the,
her. And
right out of the gate, you let Danny off the hook by saying that you think that you know his story checked out. He did go to the graduation.
Mm-hmm.
Do you, at the time or even here and now, do any thoughts linger for you that maybe he used that as an excuse to not go?
No, actually not.
He wanted to go.
This was
he did.
This was not a pretty in pink situation.
No, it
where
wasn't.
Where Blaine's like, oh, God, I forgot. Mm-hmm.
Pretty
it
in
wasn't,
pink.
It wasn't the case.
Yeah, I mean, he destroyed her. I mean, not to say that you were not summarily destroyed, but,
uh-huh.
you know.
Wow.
It was pretty brutal.
And Brett had actually asked me to the junior prom prior to
oh
Danny.
Oh, my gosh.
And you said
– told him no?
Wait
no,
a second. Wait a
Danny
second.
Danny was going to ask me. And he oh.
Man, back it up. Back it up. Back it up. Wait a second.
Yeah. Is your second choice ultimately. In
wow. Brett, and he doubled back again.
Before Danny.
Brett, before Danny.
Brett says – and does he give the caveat? Like, I know you would rather – Danny asked you, but I'm going to ask you now.
No, I think he just asked me. He drove me to school one day, and he just asked me if I wanted to go to the prom.
And you said,
hey, Emma, you know, we've known each other a long time, and I want to, you know what?
It's the last
time to grow up a little bit. Time to be a man. I like you. I like you
so
a lot.
So imagine his devastation.
That's what it was like.
I think you're a dynamite lady, and I'd love you on my arm
yeah.
for the big prom. And you said, nope.
I'm waiting yeah. for a better offer.
Yeah.
I didn't say
and by
it like
offer.
That.
What'd you
I
say
mean,
to
Danny.
Him? What'd you say to Brett?
I don't remember my exact words. I'll have to ask him.
All right,
what
we should get him on the
phone.
Oh, I'm sure he remembers.
What if she yeah. would have scared him off and he wouldn't have doubled down and asked her to marry him?
Well, so who was helping
I mean,
him? Who was helping him cry when you said no and dashed
yeah.
his prom dreams.
He's just a strong guy, you know. He knew that it would work out in the end.
What fortitude.
Yeah. When you walk in the when Brett finds out, when does he find out that Danny has now withdrawn his earlier offer?
Probably in homeroom.
When you're crying.
You're crying
now,
in
is
class.
Everybody talking in class? Is everybody kind of whispering like, psst,
it wasn't
you hear
like
what Danny
bawling.
Did?
It wasn't like bawling. It was just me just like trying to hold it together.
Like a single tear?
Yeah. Like, well, maybe more than a single, but it was
present.
Yeah.
But you're now,
teacher,
now current fiance, was he sitting there like, oh,
yes,
I can't wait to strike. I see what's going
story.
On there. Yeah.
Does the teacher ever come to you and comfort you and put your hand
okay?
on
no,
your shoulder?
No one cared, you know.
Oh, wow.
Wait, so Brett the Vulture is waiting to swoop in now.
Mm-hmm.
He's excited by this news.
Yes.
When does he approach? So what does he do? Does he come up to you? Does he put a friendly hand on your shoulder and say, chin up, kid?
You know what? He still volunteered to go to the prom with
plenty
me
of
after that.
Oh, my
gosh.
Did
you go with
what
him?
What a guy.
I didn't go with anyone because I was so bitter
you're
about the whole
you were shaken by the whole.
Wait a second.
I didn't go to the junior prom.
Brett.
But you went to senior prom with your
prom
now
with
fiance.
You reject Brett's offer because Danny is maybe going to ask.
In his own car. In his own automobile.
Did he not ask? He still asked, Danny. So it's
that
would have
been the last ride you got from me.
That's fine.
If that was the case.
That's fine.
You don't disrespect a man in his own car.
Yeah, Eddie's with me. Like, you don't want to go to prom? All right. How are you going to get to school tomorrow?
Well, Cole, yeah. I mean, this is kind of where my brain is, too.
Yeah.
Brett, so he asks you. You say, nope. You know, I mean, like, you're a good kid and all, Brett, but Danny, come on. Brett, with a barista, you know, you ever had one of his chai tea lattes?
Yeah, hubba, he didn't hubba. Work there, but.
Oh, I thought he worked there.
Even more, just, even more
say
impressive.
He went behind the counter to get the flowers.
Well, he set it up. He set it up with the vets.
That's even better.
That's more impressive. That
he's
he got
so connected with local businesses, he can just say like, "Hold those back there
small
for me."
Small town.
Yeah. He's like, Steph, I need a big, big favor.
Yeah, pick me up a dozen roses. Make them long stem. You know,
dethorned, please.
Yeah.
So you set
Toby,
out
I don't want you writing prom on the glass. Your handwriting won't cut it.
Right. So what did you do the night of junior prom? I have to know.
The night of junior prom,
what
I
does
was
he
with
say
Brett.
What does he say when you when he says, hey, that earlier offer still stands. Now that Danny's off the table, I'll take you to prom.
What did I say to
that?
I said, like, I'm sorry, but I just don't even want to go. I don't want to go.
Thanks, but no thanks, essentially.
But then he hung out with you the
did
night
I not,
of prom.
Mm-hmm. Brett, did I not make it clear earlier? I don't want. I want to go to the prom. I just don't want to go with you.
No man has ever liked me as much as Brett has liked Emma.
Did MVP. Did they spell prom correct on the Starbucks cup?
They did.
Did they? I thought maybe they spelled P-O-R-M question mark. You know, they tend to misspell things.
Look at that. It's a first
over at
in
Starbucks.
Starbucks history.
Yeah.
Wow.
Emma VP.
What a love story.
Yeah. Now, wait a second. Is that what it is?
Gorgeous story,
yes.
Actually.
I mean, it's a redemption story of love.
So Danny's off at his older sibling's college graduation. Your classmates are all dancing to – now, what year is this? 2000-ish?
2010.
Wow.
Jesus Christ.
How old are we?
What songs are popular at this
2010?
Point?
2010? Like Justin Timberlake
Kesha?
Is
–
Kesha.
It's not even fun to reference the old songs because they aren't even old.
They're Black Eyed Peas?
Yeah, something on the radio
I Got a
now.
Feeling.
Top 40.
Yeah, that's what it was. It would be I Got a Feeling.
Yep, probably.
That night was not a good night, though, that he
declined
to go to prom.
No, night wasn't going to be a good night.
Your classmate, your female classmates are like, I don't want to wear these pumps anymore. I've got to dance. And
they
threw him off to the side.
They had a great time.
Then they went out to the after prom. Mm-hmm. But you and Brett are like, nope. No, you're just crying. And Brett's like, kind of life have I carved out for myself.
You know, what did you guys do? Did you go to a movie?
We watched the Flyers playoff game.
Oh, wow.
And I was texting with him about this because he saw Tamposi's tweets, and he says he does not regret that decision. It was Flyers-Bruins game 7 or something like that. He's happy about it.
Is that when I remember that because the Bruins were up 3-0 on the Flyers, and the Flyers came back, mm-hmm. and the Bruins were even up in game 7 3-0.
Whatever happened
Boom.
To the
How about
Flyers?
That?
I hope you know what? I'm rooting for the Flyers to turn things around and finally get off the schneid.
You didn't know my hockey knowledge was.
No, I didn't know that they hadn't won a Stanley Cup since 1975 until recently. I feel bad for them. My heart breaks for them.
I was in studio in Boston on standby during
I'm
that
a Blues
game.
Fan. Don't even talk to me about that.
Yeah. Oh, wait. I just remembered. I'm a Penguins fan, so I don't feel bad for the Flyers.
Well, yeah. I mean.
Anyway.
I couldn't imagine staying home for prom and watching a hockey game, though. That would. Oh, yikes.
Some people don't have a choice. Deke. Yeah.
Some people weren't voted class clown, Deke.
She still could have gone with Brett. Like,
oh, I was considered to be a funny man. Did that mean that anybody was lining up to go to a prom or anything else with Dave Damashek?
I mean, that's it. I don't really remember my junior prom much, but I mean, I went to all of them.
How many high school dances, Dave Damashek, did you go to?
I went to the prom.
Just one?
Just one.
I went to the prom.
Homecomings?
Well, there was
Turnabout, Sadie Hawkins.
I didn't
Spring
have
dance.
A girlfriend. I mean, it was not an option. Like, which women are you maybe flirting with, and maybe there's something there that can blossom with a formal date or something like that, or any kind of a date, and who's interested in you and who are you interested in, Dave? Yeah. Is like none, zero.
Yeah,
no.
What about just going with your buddies and hanging out?
Guys don't do that.
No. That was the point for me. It was like, well, you should go to the prom. It's a rite of passage.
Yeah.
So one of the girls who I would drive to school every day, because my younger sister Debbie, a year younger than me, she and a couple of her friends, I would give them a boost to high school every day. And they were in the car. And just, you know, by default, I said to the one, let's go to the prom, and she agreed. I mean, if nothing else, I was kind of amusing, so that didn't seem like it would be the worst time in the world.
Fair enough.
But of course, I mean, there was no 16 or 18 year old girl who was like, "Can you believe I'm on the arm of Dave Damashek?"
Like, well, at least you weren't like designated Dave in that movie.
No,
you were the designated driver for everybody.
No, what I was like, I was a ticket. I was that's what
a
I
ticket
was.
Into well, you were
Free
the
meal.
Older guy.
I want
to
go.
I want to go to the prom
because it's the party of the year.
Yeah.
And
all the younger girls would work that angle.
And
they'd find the older guys to just get in the door.
Oh, yeah.
This loser can pull back the velvet rope for me.
Yeah.
So that's what I did. And that's fine. You know, listen, right. I had no assumptions about anything. You know, like I say,
wow.
Never talked to a girl. This was my first opportunity to do so. But, of course, that was interrupted at some point during the evening when I couldn't. Where did she go? And I went around and found her making out with a guy.
Stop it.
Are you serious?
Is this
making out with a guy?
Not even just dancing, full on makeout?
Like in the gym, like over to the side?
This was not at the actual party. Yeah, this was the post party.
Yeah. Well, at least you went to the post party.
It was like a school sanction.
Oh, wow.
It wasn't like a fun one.
God, we had so much fun at our dances. I don't know what's going on here. Is this a good time to let you know that I was on prom court?
Wow. Look at that. Deke, you're just rubbing it all in our faces.
That's nice, Deke.
I did not win prom queen, but I was on the court.
Meantime, somebody's making out on my time.
Yeah.
Hey, friend, you know, listen, she's not my lady, but on the other hand, you know, how about, sparing me some dignity?
Yeah.
Dude, you're making out when the sun comes up. We're still on the clock here, you know, right?
But you bought her dinner and took her to the dance.
You bet I did.
You paid for pictures
you
and everything?
You bet I did. I don't know if I paid for it.
Did you get a corsage and everything?
I don't know what I did, funny lady.
Boutonniere?
Number one clown of class. Was in this class.
I was thinking the same thing. You make me laugh, Deeker, but not like that.
Okay, you know what?
The number one? Can you imagine what kind of school?
Man. Did you win class clown?
I don't think they gave out a formal
award. No, you
didn't.
I
would have been.
No.
No, they didn't give a formal award.
He may be a late bloomer.
Yeah,
is what my guess.
I would have been in the running. I mean, I'm trying to run through it in my head of in high school who was. Would be properly called funnier than I was. I don't know.
People like my witty repertoire. I mean, what can I say? I didn't disrupt classes.
That's not a real class clown then.
I'm basically what I am.
You didn't form the attitude that everybody talks about behind your back until later, you know?
Wow.
No. What do you mean?
I mean, you're not a real class clown unless you're disrupting class. Unless you're
you
slowing down
funny.
The educational process. No. No, no, no.
You can be funny without being disruptive.
That's incorrect. You must be disruptive as a high schooler to be called a class clown, Dave.
I was a good student. I wanted to keep my standing.
There has to be some sense of danger.
That's right.
Here comes the joke. I don't think
I don't know if I was a dangerous
I don't think Mrs.
comedian.
T is going to enjoy this. Uh-oh. Damashek better come to his senses and cut that out, or he's going to get in a lot of trouble here.
My English teacher
rolls the dice and does it again.
Freshman year English teacher put me and two other guys in the row against the wall. He called it the bad row. And what do? As soon as we get put there in one class, we all start actually rowing like we're rowing a boat through class, and he kicked all three of us out straight to the office.
I would have died if I would have gotten kicked out of class. Oh. I would have literally.
I wouldn't even know what to do if I didn't get kicked out of class.
Yeah, there could the yeah.
That was a daily thing. Multiple classes. Come on, Deeker.
I said to
daily thing
in Hebrew school once. I said the teacher was berating me, and I said something. I questioned my lack of attention and how I wasn't learning anything about Jewish history and stuff. And I said, "Listen, I have more intelligence in my left buttock than you have in your whole body." To the teacher. I got in trouble.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. Cut from the same cloth. A teacher.
I'm not going to stand for that.
Ever.
Who do you think you are? Tell me what the score is. I didn't come to Hebrew school to be berated by you grown up.
My seventh grade science teacher, she said, "I brought in a picture of my family since I talk about them so much. Here's my boys. Here's my husband." I raised my hand like I had something important to say. And I told her, I said, "Nobody cares about your family." They sent me to the office promptly.
I bet she started crying, too.
She was so upset. And the whole class was like, I mean, it was like showtime at the Apollo. They were all like, "Yeah!" And I got sent straight to the office.
My Spanish class one time made our teacher cry, and I felt horrible. Like, what? She literally ran out of the room crying.
What a super clown.
I was
Emma VP, were you the class clown?
No.
With Brett?
No.
Who's funnier, Brett or Danny?
Definitely Brett.
Who's better looking, Brett or Danny?
Brett.
Who was better looking when you were 17?
Brett.
Well, what's weird?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you have said like
Danny's charming personality?
You've got one picture of Danny, right?
Brett wants to go to the prom with me. I mean, you're a good guy, but I mean, come on. Brett's coming.
I was swooning over Danny for like 3 years. I didn't have a boyfriend before. I was very excited about this. And, you know,
what was it about Danny that piqued your interest if Brett was the more handsome fellow?
Personality plus.
Yeah, personality.
I think you know that she's just making that up.
I think she's
Spaghetti, how does this sit with you? You know this, Brett. What does this make you feel about
I've said it before in the podcast. I'm a huge Brett guy. And after hearing this, it's just like I'm kind of questioning it now because I'm a big grudge guy. And I would treat it with anger. And he did not treat it with anger. Mm. I would be throwing darts at a picture of him. I'd be so angry.
Still to this day.
And I'm like, you better watch out for that wedding. That wedding is Red Wedding 2.0. Like,
come back around. Yeah,
it's going to be bad.
Mike
Golic, that's his plot right now. That's what he's doing.
It's a long con.
Pal, Emma VP, your friend Mike Golic Jr. Has weighed in now, and he raised something that is a fascinating notion there. Eddie Spaghetti, what was it again?
He said that he thinks it's in the play for the long con. That's what after I said it's the Red Wedding 2.0. Because I don't know how Brett has the patience to put up with that.
He's just not showing up on wedding day.
Oh, man. He's driving you to school, and he asks you to go, and then you're like, no, I want to go with this other guy. I'd be like, all right, well, screw you. Like, I want to go. Like,
that would be it for me.
That's it.
I'd be out on that one.
Yeah, you're dead to me.
I would stop the car. Yeah. And be like, good luck walking the rest of the way to school. This day, I certainly would never come back around. Like, well, now that Danny fell out, you know what? I'm gonna do it again. I mean, you said no to Brett to the same thing twice. You said no,
but we went to senior prom and now we're getting married. Isn't that sweet?
It is an interesting butterfly effect of how different your life might be. Do you know whatever happened to this Danny?
Yeah, I know what happened to Danny.
You do?
Yeah, he actually just got married recently.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
Congratulations.
That could have been you.
Yep.
Did he stay in the area?
He moved down to D.C., I believe.
Oh, really? Ooh. What line of work is he in now?
Medicine.
He's a doctor?
Nurse.
He's a nurse.
Like Gaylord Falker.
Yeah.
Gaylord Falker.
Danny
scored really high in his MCATs, though.
You just should have seen his face the minute you said it. Dave's face was like,
"Hey,
what can I say?"
Like, come on.
I am passing no judgment.
Yeah, but you sparkled like nobody. She said nurse. I looked over at you, and you're like.
No, the only sparkle was what was reflected in Emma VP's delight.
It was Irene Cara.
She was so over the moon to say that. Medicine. She said it. She gave that vague term so that I would ask, what do you mean, medicine? Doctor? No. Nurse.
It's like in the movie She's Out of My League when the girl says that he's in aviation, but he really works for TSA. Not the same thing.
Exactly.
The same thing. Kinda.
So you could right now be the spouse of a nurse in Washington, D.C., instead of sitting here, Emma VP?
I could.
Look who's the winner.
Think? Do you see?
No.
Who wins? What's the lesson for everybody out there?
And I don't believe there's going to be a wedding, a red wedding 2.0 because
no,
if he was going
nice.
To do it.
I take that back.
If he was
going nice.
To do it, he was going to do it senior prom.
Brett's a great person.
I'm conflicted because I'm conflicted. On one hand, I like Emma VP, so you know, I don't want
on one hand.
That's good. On one hand.
I don't want her to be unhappy with it, but as the you know, the officiant of the wedding,
right?
Nothing would make me happier than for it to, for the wheels to just come off. For me to be up there,
wow,
standing in between Brett and Emma doing the vows.
Well,
and
since I'm a bridesmaid,
Brett makes, oh, one more thing. Like, if anybody has any reason to object, like, you know, now that you bring it up, Judge Dave, and then he just goes into it.
So your contention is...
Then
so
I'm doubled over with laughter. Up there on the stage.
Evil laughter.
So you guys think that he went to senior prom with her as like a precursor of just, I'm just, this is the long
and
con.
And then continue to date me for 7 years
afterwards.
He kept
it going.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, as a guy, I think that part of, again, it could be me, I could be a crazy person, but there's something in Brett's mind that is still bothering him about that. It eats at his core.
I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy.
He's never stood
up at the altar.
He's still bothered by this. I know for a fact.
I'm sure he loves hearing stories about it on the podcast about the guy who beat him out, essentially,
right.
in the very That's early goings.
Yes. Are we going to alert Daniel that he is part of this?
Well, I think what
I
we
haven't
need,
talked to him.
You know what I think we need to do is, I just don't feel comfortable. I mean, this was interesting and hopefully instructive to the listener out there who maybe, you know, they're in one of
it's prom season, so it's relevant.
It
right.
Is.
Maybe
it
they're
is.
In one of these in one of these life valleys right now. But
Quagmire.
Now you see Emma VP up on the top of the mountain right now of life.
Yep.
Hopefully it's instructive.
That's
that
right.
being
she
said,
splashed her ring. You see that?
I don't feel like we can have full resolution. I don't think we can all move forward together as one unit unless we talk to Brett and Danny and figure it all out.
Agreed.
Can we get Danny?
All right, let's
work on that.
The DC nurse on the phone?
We can get Brett, but...
Yeah,
I don't know about Danny, huh?
No.
Oh, I'll get Danny. I can do that.
Well,
I'll work on that.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Well,
his parents probably still live in the same home.
May not.
You know.
May not sit well
I'm
with
sure
Brett.
It'll be,
Danny, please take the call. The bedpan will wait. Please.
Now right? He'll definitely join.
He's
no, that was
yeah,
for
you
fun.
You can't make fun
That's
of
That's for fun.
He's installing a colostomy bag as we speak.
Well, I'm sorry. Wait, Deeker, class clown, is giving comedy tips here.
Yeah.
Can't make fun of him. Don't make fun. Don't.
Yeah, you said that the other day.
Don't make
He's
fun
like,
of
oh,
people.
You're the comedy expert, yeah. Deeker.
If you want to be...
How's it done, Deke?
Class clown, don't make fun of people.
Yeah.
And don't get in trouble with the teachers, because that wouldn't be funny.
Sounds like the opposite of being the class clown, Dave.
Oh, what weird award did you win? Jeez. I don't think it was class clown.
That's how they do it in St. Louis.
Okay.
They put
goody,
fake,
goody.
They put fake cheese on their
the
pizza.
The teachers Provel? Loved me. Yes, that's always the hallmark of a class clown, is that the teachers love you.
Sure.
The teachers didn't vote. The students did. My classmates did.
It's a popularity contest. You probably balloted just like you're doing the pie off.
They're all a popularity contest.
Right. Yeah,
that's why I didn't win any of them.
Mm-hmm.
All superlatives of every.
All right, let's get
sure,
Danny.
Deke.
Let's get Brett. Let's settle it all. So, sure. Like I say, we can then come together. Yes, it's gonna get worse before it gets better.
It's a J curve.
The good news is, I think we're all gonna land on our feet.
Do you know about the J curve, Dave?
No.
Like, if you want to go from there to there, you have to go down before you go up.
One more thing. Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know what that means.
All right.
I like when people do things like that,
right.
And you say, like, oh, I get what that means. And then
don't
you're like, oh, that has no merit. I mean, it's just like I get the metaphor that you're trying to make there, but that doesn't actually match up with anything in life.
Take steps forward.
Well, that's how it has to go.
I think the only reason I think we should bring Danny back into this is that...
Oh, wait. Deeger's going to sign off, man.
No.
Fingers
is.
Crossed.
She's class clowning over here.
I'd like to know if he has ever thought of this and how it might have affected you.
Yeah.
As he's older and wiser.
I'd like to know that. I'd sure like to know that.
I guess we'll never know, huh?
Until we get him on the show.
Or until we find him on Facebook.
Yep.
Well, I mean, his ability to diagnose other human beings only goes so far. Like, he's got, you know, I don't even know if he's allowed to use
diagnose
one of those,
a broken heart.
I don't know if he's allowed to take one of triangular little hammer things and hit people on the knee. I don't know if he is qualified for that. I mean,
He has to wait for somebody else to come in the room.
Community in one full
Dr. Miller, can you please come to room 358? Somebody needs their reflexes tested, and I'm not qualified to do it. This is Danny.
Danny. Oh, my gosh. The nursing profession hates you.
My mother was a nurse.
Well.
Do you know my mother? Do you know my mother, Mo Damashek?
I have met her, yes.
You want to talk about courage? You want to hear about somebody who lived, not just survived, but lived? This is a woman who volunteered. This wasn't put on her by the man. She just thought it would be a cool life experience. She, because inmates need medical treatment as well, she would go to the joint. And, you know, when they needed shots or whatever, for whatever they needed, she would give them their shots and stuff just because, you know, interacting with. Now,
Heisman Trophy winner Billy Cannon, prison dentist.
Is that true?
He was once upon a time. Used to go into Angola and fix
people's
teeth.
About that, Deaker? Admire Mo?
100%. I admired her the minute I met her.
Do you know what you won't admire about her? She makes and she claims to make the best, and a lot of people agree with her, the world's best lemon bars.
Well, we'll see.
Oh, we should have a lemon bar off.
I'm siding with Mo Damashek on that one.
Thank you.
I really did promise to make some lemon bars, but I got sick.
Okay, we have one more thing I want to talk about, and that's why you were invited here, Deaker. But you mentioned hockey, Cole, right? Real quick, isn't it funny that we were just talking before the show, it seems like there's some funny, you know, I like to talk about who would win in a battle of literal mascots, you know?
Yeah.
You know? Isn't it funny that we have in the NHL first round Kings versus Knights? Isn't that that's a funny one?
Knights would win. Kings really don't fight. They have other people do their dirty work.
I don't know. I think if you're a king,
Knights are jousting.
There are a lot of movies and TV shows where the king can fight. What's his name? With the one hand in Game of Thrones?
He wasn't a king.
He's not king? Yeah, no, I guess he's not king.
And plus, Game of Thrones is
whack. Wait a second. Ned's king.
Game of Thrones is whack, too, though, so that doesn't
count.
It doesn't count. What? Flying dragons? Come on, man. You got to be better. Dave, I thought
Beyonce
you were better than
too.
That. Yeah, we've already got
I also think it's interesting that the Blue Jackets and Capitals are playing, so this is sort of like Columbus destroying America. Columbus did
dive.
when he came in and
deep dive.
Attacked. That's
just
another
like
one.
It.
There's an irony in the Penguins and Flyers playing each other because the Penguin is the only bird that can't fly, and yet it's vanquishing the Flyers.
That one I'll buy. That one I like.
The other two are interesting as well, aren't they?
Well, the Columbus.
The Jets are playing the Wild. It's like newfangled technology against, you know, nature. Flight. Man-made flight.
Well, this took a turn.
It did. I don't even know who the teams that are in the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs right now. Thanks.
Next, I want to talk about this. MVP's deleting that last 2 minutes from the show. I don't. You know what?
She's literally 2 minutes.
Hockey.
I literally just looked over at her, and she's like this, just shaking her head.
One more thing.
Like, anyone want to talk soccer?
One more thing, and then we'll call for Reggie Bush. One more thing. Deaker watched a movie called The Godfather.
I did.
Because I told her it's a great movie and she should watch it.
He berated me into watching it.
Well, I mean, there are things, like I say, people who don't see Star Wars or The Godfather, it's a weird bit where you are willfully you're separating yourself from the rest
of
society.
But it's not a bit. It's not a bit. And I tell people this all the time.
I don't mean it's a bit, but it's a weird choice to
intentional
proclaimed outlier.
Something that's easily resolvable. 2 hours of your life. All right, now I get the references to the Force and to the horse, to the head of a horse and a bed.
But
and those
topics
kind of things
did not interest me as a kid. I didn't have older
siblings.
I'm just
saying it's a weird
like
choice. I don't want to get when people make those references. What's that about? That's from Star Wars. Like, oh, I don't really get it. Why wouldn't you want to be up to speed?
I feel like culturally, I gained enough from Star Wars, you know, just references that I felt like I knew enough, so it didn't lend itself to make me want to like see the full.
Come on, Deaker.
Now
you for the Godfather as I got older.
Two class clowns and two people who have the same trash opinion on one of the great movies of all time.
Well, you had to tell her to go watch it. I already watched it.
Deaker, we'll start with you. Okay. Your opinion of the classic film with so many of the all-time great actors in it. Your review of The Godfather.
Okay, so when I watched it, I thought it was the opening wedding scene, the entire scene or that whole setup was amazing. It felt so real, and I thought, wow, this is so authentic. It felt authentic.
Half hour, 45 minutes. You just start watching. You enter this world, and 45 minutes, and they're still doing the wedding.
Right, but
crazy.
Reception. Who's the director again?
Coppola.
Coppola, yeah. To his credit, it didn't feel like 45 minutes. It just felt like this – like I was taking an insider look into what an Italian wedding in 1940s. Was that right?
40s, 50s, 50s, something like that.
Well, I just got out. Yeah, Michael just returned from WW2.
Right. So, you know, I'm learning, you know, I'm getting the lay of the land. I understand Marlon Brando is the
godfather. But you get the whole thing. I mean, you get the gravity of who he is in dealing with him because of the – that. I mean, that's excellent stuff.
But then, you know, after the wedding and they start to effort into, like, you know, the plot, their family's plight of staying relevant and, you know, dealing with the drugs and what, you know, I understand how it became the bedrock and the boilerplate for all the other mob movies since, you know, you've got the archetypes of the son that thinks he knows too much, which was Sonny, the older guy.
Jimmy Kahn.
Sonny gets shot at the Cosmo.
Well, but he's... Yeah. The brother who thinks
Fredo?
He's in charge. No, Fredo's the idiot in Vegas, right?
Yeah.
So, like, all these characters we've now seen since, correct, Eddie? Like, you've got the older brother who thinks he's in charge, but really Michael is the one who's just not
wanting
to... Well,
Sonny's in charge. He's just a hothead.
Right, but...
It's James Caan,
that's
right?
What I'm saying.
Yeah.
No, James Caan is the lawyer, isn't he?
No, that's...
He'll set us straight.
That's Robert Duvall.
Anyway.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, he's in it?
The great Santini.
Tom Hagen. Tom Hagen.
Who's Tom Hagen?
Oh, I didn't realize that was Robert
Is Duvall in The Godfather?
I did not realize that was him. I didn't know Diane Keaton was in it.
Wow.
What? That was a lovely surprise. Anyway, so I'm understanding all the characters, and I'm understanding...
Was Robert Duvall in The Godfather?
I didn't realize it was him. But I'm understanding, like, all the characters. Fredo's the bumbling idiot who they just ship off to Vegas to, like, run the business there. And then, of course, you have the conflict of, like, oh, we need to figure out how to... modernize our business. This, you know, the business is moving into this direction. We need to get into the drugs or whatever. Like, so I'm understanding the challenge.
The charge here isn't for you to summarize the movie.
My review is, I thought it was fantastically shot and like, but I just didn't ever kind of get into the story. I didn't care about the story. I didn't care about the family's plight. I didn't really care about the characters like I do, you know, with Sopranos or these other movies where you like, or shows that you care about the people. So I just didn't understand.
All right, Cole Wright, now you.
I'm not going to give a full-on synopsis, but I feel like the movie's very long and drawn out. You know, and then that
it was choppy too.
The table's set with a 45-minute scene that is all encompassing in one place with the wedding, the reception.
Right.
It's a little bit long. Some of that could have hit the editing floor. And I just feel like it's a little bit long and drawn out. It romanticizes the old school.
It's epic. That's what it is. It's covering decades.
And I think the problem with The Godfather, at least for me, is the fact that my first real mobster movie, we were, I don't know, 14 years old, was Goodfellas. Now, I need to see someone get stabbed in the neck with a pen. I need to see, you know, guys talking about chopping off hooves, paws, you know, exactly what, you know, when he's talking to the look at that painting. Look at that painting up there, mm-hmm. The guy in the boat. It's just I feel like I'm more Goodfellas. If someone said Goodfellas or Godfather, I'm gonna have to go with that. I might have to go Carlito's Way over Godfather. I know you might want to kick me out of Studio 66 here. Carlito's Way is pretty good though.
For Michael, I wasn't rooting for Fredo. And then I didn't even know the Godfather died in the middle of the thing. Like I thought there was a Godfather 2 and a Godfather 3 that would require Marlon Brando to be in those
I guess you're not. Now you're banned. I'm gonna have to ban you from watching Godfather 2 because you don't rise to the level.
Godfather 3, from what I heard, an abomination.
I did realize, you know, by watching it, like, the horse head meant something. Like, I had no idea. I thought this guy just woke up in his bed and they cut off a horse's head.
You know who ordered that horse to be put there, right? That horse head to be put there.
The Godfather?
Tom Hagen.
Isn't that what you do to a stool pigeon?
Robert Duvall.
Is that what happens?
Yeah, because the lawyer's the one that met with the guy, and then he showed him his prize horse. And then
Duvall alone is worth the price of admission. Duvall, go watch Tender Mercies
and realize
a decade prior he plays Tom Hagen. Watch the range of that guy. Do those two characters?
Is it one of my favorite.
Hagen's one of the all time coolest, and I've said it a million times. I'm going to say it for the million and first. The best you could watch The Godfather. You don't have to watch beginning to end. You could pick up any scene. by itself, and it will be meaningful, at least in my opinion. And Hagen going to tell the Godfather that Sonny just got shot at the causeway, just got killed. And he comes down, and he had just been shot, and he's home recovering. So he comes down in his robe, and his voice is weak. And why are you here to tell me why all the women and children are crying upstairs? And
that's your go-to scene.
It is. It's my favorite scene in movie
history.
Now
you've had your drink.
Yeah. But first you needed a drink. Well, now you've had your drink.
You love that one.
It's the best.
Kind of dialogue seems laborious.
Doesn't it though? How about Carlito's Way? You got Davey Klinefeld,
Sean King. Well,
now you've had your drink.
You've never seen Carlito's Way?
He shot Sonny at the on the causeway, he tells him. And Brando goes through the rainbow of emotion. He's devastated. He starts to weep. He starts like MVP in Home Room the day after Danny happened. Brando starts to weep, but then he gathers himself and he steals his jaw and he says, "He wants nothing to happen back. This is the end of it.
No retaliations."
He says,
"How about Viggo Mortensen on Carlito's
what
way?
He's saying. He's got the weird mouth and it just My favorite Viggo scene Mortensen? Was with the little boy, and then he died, so I felt kind of bad about that.
With the orange in his mouth?
Yeah.
He's chasing him around with
the
orange.
See, like, more
in his
scenes
mouth?
Like that that kind of really showed who these people were, but I don't know. It just didn't do it for me.
Every scene with an orange, someone dies. That's another symbolism.
What?
Really? Eddie Spaghetti going right. Next level.
It's either somebody, somebody dies, somebody gets shot, but it's like when the Godfather gets shot, he's the fruit market.
And the fruit market, right.
Yeah, there's multiple scenes. Right. There's an orange before something bad happens.
Wow, you are a fan. Eddie did declare
when Clemenza kills the guy, he's get the cannolis is his famous line.
Leave the gun.
Yeah.
Take the cannoli.
Yep. All right. Well, listen.
I want to point out
a lot
that
of things
Eddie,
were exposed
Eddie
today.
Eddie declared he had to quit his job when he found out that I did not like The Godfather, but yet there he is behind the glass.
So. Well, I owe it to Dave to help defend him because that's a miserable take.
By the way, banner day for Spaghetti there behind the glass. His girlfriend appeared in a bit on Barstool Sports.
Nice. So.
A bit? What is it? She was like. At
no,
Barstool,
she, they
or?
Just they like ripped a newscast she did. She works up in Bakersfield.
Oh, okay,
nice.
It was just like they made kind of like fun.
I like Barstool. I've started to kind of listen to them, but I can't keep up. There's so many characters. They're like a mob family. There's a ton of cousins, and there's like, all these names like Big Cat and Kit. I need a flow chart. But it's Eddie's a big Barstool
Robert Duvall's one of them. MVP, let me guess. We are 39 minutes in.
That's a good guess. We're 70 minutes in.
Oh, boy.
70
Time
minutes?
Flies.
Double that and then add 10 more minutes.
Time
well,
flies.
You can cut out my Godfather portion. I'm going to get a lot of hate. Yep. I'm going to get a lot of hate.
Do we have time for Reggie Bush?
We definitely don't, but we could definitely.
We'll have to think
it.
About it. We might. We'll talk to Reggie and maybe we'll play that back for you in a day or two. Boy, we did too well.
Time flies.
Yeah.
Well, really again, you can cut out my Godfather because I'm just going to get a lot of hate tweets.
We're going to need to block off a month's worth of shows for Brett v. Danny. We're going to have to do a lot of that.
Mm-hmm. For sure. We need pictures. I need prom pictures.
Boy, oh boy. What did you think, Cole Wright? Did we? This a fun show?
It was. Having Deeker in too. I mean,
I'm sitting in Hank's in handsome seat, which is,
makes me feel happy to know that. All the bad stuff in life, what this is good, like all the things, the little jabs that life gets you aren't all directed at me.
Yeah. Well, we had no girlfriends in high school.
Right.
Nobody asked us
that makes me feel good.
Sadie Hawkins or Turnabout, so we're doing
MVP, right now. A prize for any man. She went through her rough patches,
That's true.
She
rough
had
pumpkins.
Her hard times. Danny was the belle of the ball. Now he's off, changing.
Nursing it up.
I don't even know what he's – I don't even want to get into what he's doing now. We've learned a lot.
Eddie Spaghetti, wise beyond his years, big Godfather fan.
Look at the thing with the fresh produce, what he knows about the Godfather.
I mean, it's almost like Marcellus Wallace and his soul being –
The Cubs-Cardinals series starts
But then
tonight.
the yin to life, to all these negative yangs is that somehow improbably Deeker was a class clown. Boy, I don't even know.
Yucking it up.
Yeah.
From first period to
eighth period.
That's
the most improbable thing coming out of this.
How many times
podcast.
Did you go to lunch every day? Because I went about six times to crack jokes with a fresh new audience.
What do you mean, how many times did I go to lunch?
Well, you probably went. We had like six different lunch periods at my high school.
Yeah, we had.
So I'd get passed to the nurse's office and then leave the nurse's office to go crack jokes at lunch.
What's the funniest thing you've ever said, Deeker?
Oh, God. How can you quantify that? I don't know what the funniest thing I've ever said.
Her pie was better than mine. She said that one time before, and that was pretty funny. That was a joke.
Well, let me. I'll get back to you on that because I get some good zingers.
Sea salt and thick cut bacon
this year.
Huh?
I entertain you enough.
You do entertain me. Tell me very quickly, and then that's gotta be it.
Yeah, we're like at 80 minutes.
Give us your three sitcoms
that I watch right now.
No, your three favorite sitcoms of all time.
Oh gosh, Curb.
Your enthusiasm.
Beep.
Veep. Okay, yeah.
Oh, my God.
People been talking Veep. I don't see that.
Oh, my God. It is hysterical.
I've literally have not seen it. I'm not saying I don't.
It is so good. It is literally.
People rave. Okay. I got to catch you up on that.
Third one. Oh, gosh. Seinfeld, probably. I'd have to.
What do you think about MVP including Friends on her top three?
Actually, this is great because I've been sick for like 4 weeks. So I have logged a lot of. You know what? I'll put Office actually in front of Curb.
Are you MVP? So now I think about it. Now this is kind of coming together for me. So in your mind, your Rachel and Brett is Ross.
No, I'm definitely a Monica.
You're Monica. Why?
Just like her neuroses. I don't know if we're actually getting into the background of the character, if you're just taking a jab at the prom story.
Okay.
No, I mean, the story kind of lines up. The element that...
Oh, the famous prom episode of Friends with Rachel and Ross.
Kind of.
Great episode, by the
kinda.
Way.
Kind of. But I didn't end up going. Rachel ended up going with that jerk.
That's and remember, right. He's at the top of the stairs, and the dad
Ross
goes,
is devastated.
Oh, no. Yeah.
No, cool.
No, I like Friends, but I logged in a lot of Friends and Office over being sick because I've been out of the office. And the Office is just, I mean, it is just amazing. I forgot how funny it is. And I did watch a lot of Friends. And while there are some amazing Friends and they had such a great run those first few years, I would not put it in my top three. Probably 4 or 5.
Jeffersons?
Somewhere in there.
Where's that?
Jeffersons. I don't remember an episode. I mean, I know who the characters are, but I don't
what?
Remember. I don't remember loving one episode.
Can I tell you something about Jeffersons?
Blaspheme.
For real, The Jeffersons was a great show for the first season or two. Then it gets cartoony. But
when they switch Lynels?
Yeah, but I mean, for real, it was a really good show initially, as was Benson. People forget
Robert Guillaume.
People forget Soap, and the funniest character on Soap Robert Guillaume's Benson, true. the butler character, who then they spin off into his own thing, Benson, and for the first year, really funny show. Yep. Then it gets dumb. But yeah, go back and watch that. And his arch rival was Klaus, the maid, the German maid.
I mean, the best part of the Jeffersons was the fact that their upstairs neighbor, Helen Willis, in real life, is Roxy Roker, who, oh, by the way, is Lenny Kravitz's mother.
Really?
Come on.
Did not know
Stick
that.
With me. You'll learn new things all the time. Yeah, wow, your friends facts. At the water cooler.
Legitimately progressive show. They had a middle-aged couple. They were
100%.
Not beautiful people or anything. And, well, Roxy Roker was an attractive middle-aged-ish woman, but her husband was this...
Tom Willis.
Was this doughy, middle-aged white guy. And it was like, yeah, well, they're together. Yeah,
that's right.
It was not, you know,
how about that?
In 1980, that was progressive.
It was.
All right, listen. That's enough. I've had more than enough of everybody, so let's cut it off here. We'll have MVP. That's the formal decision. Reggie Bush coming up.
We'll do it next week. I mean, not next week. Next show.
We have Reggie Bush.
Yeah.
For you. Oh, good. We'll get.
Sorry to cut into Reggie's time.
No.
Apologize.
No. Yeah, you should apologize to him face to face.
I will. Yeah. Sorry, Reggie.
Maybe pass him a note on a Starbucks cup. All right.
That.
Been a thin slice of heaven.